Turn to our scripture. We're still in 1 Corinthians. We're coming up, just starting chapter 7. So we finished, we get through chapter 7 and 8, and we'll be halfway through. So we're almost halfway. But this next two chapters are, our next chapter here is pretty long. It's going to take us a couple weeks. But we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 today of chapter 7. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. And in the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent, and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to be here present right now, manifest this soul, Lord, that you would just anoint me to speak your word. As I speak this morning, each person who hears this message would be encouraged and blessed. Lord, I pray particularly this morning that you would guide my tongue as this particular topic is one where I could really mess up and say something inappropriate. So, Lord, help me to speak your truth and love. Help me to speak it in boldness and with honesty and with power. And let your people here be blessed. Lord, we come to you to find our direction. We come to you to be encouraged. We come to you to be strengthened. So, Lord, fill us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, up to this point, apparently, Paul had been kind of going on his own in his letter, dealing with some things that he'd heard, been reported, etc., rumors, saying, okay, let's deal with that. Now he's getting to this point where he's dealing with a letter that they have officially sent him, seeking some input. And he's going to get into the topics. And there's quite a list of things that he's going to go through. And number one on the list, apparently, is, should we get married or shouldn't we get married? What's this about bodily passions? Well, it's a good question. Personally, I'm in favor of marriage. I happen to be married. Might just slant my opinion. Did a wedding service yesterday. Now, Paul here starts off by saying, it's good not to marry. It's a good thing not to marry. So if you're not married, you don't feel desire or need to be married, that's a good thing. Later he says that's a gift. Why in the world would somebody say not being married is a gift? Personally, I find a lot of comfort in having a wife. I hope she finds comfort in having a husband. But you'd have to ask her. He talks about marriage and that, but then in verse 6 he says, I say this as a concession, not a command, telling people to be married. He said, verse 7 he goes on, I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. So, this whole thing about should we be married or not, it more has to do with, is it a gift? Well, what's the gift he's talking about? It's about, quite honestly, sexual passion. Our human sexuality. Now, this is not a topic that most pastors like to feel comfortable about getting up on the platform and behind the pulpit and speaking about on Sunday morning. Me included. But yet, God's Word seems to say a lot about it. So I'm pretty much obligated and required, if I'm going to preach God's Word, to preach this. And what does it say? It says that a lot of us in this world are filled with passion. We're not talking a passion for football or baseball or music. We're talking about passion of the body. Sexual appetites. And Paul says, there's a lot of immorality in the world. Watch out. And to keep from getting pulled into that immorality, and immorality here is referring specifically to sex outside of the marriage relationship. To keep from falling into that, it's good to be married. So if you burn with passion, get married. Now back then, it was not uncommon to have arranged marriages and things like that. Today, we usually like to know the person whom we're going to get married to and prefer to have a understanding and maybe even love for them before we get married. That wasn't always necessarily the case back then. But yet they were to come to love each other. They were to love each other. Emotionally and physically. But Paul is telling us here that if we have these passions within us, they need to be channeled properly. And the proper channel is marriage and the relationship of a husband and a wife. A man needs a wife. A wife needs a husband. Sounds pretty good, at least to me. I'm all for it. Yet we seem to have a problem with it in our society. We have people wanting to redefine what exactly marriage is. We've got people who, some people who want to have serial marriages. They want to, that's not like cornflakes in your marriage. That's like, married like multiple times. Then we have places where they're said that, hey, we're going to have multiple spouses all at the same time. Some groups. We've got every... Mankind has come up with every conceivable variation on this. Yet the Scripture's direction here is But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, singular, and each woman should have her own husband, singular. One each. Now there's some talk later about widows. Widowers, you know, hey, if you still got some passion burning there, okay, go get another one. But beyond that, we're pretty much supposed to stay with the one we got. And if we don't have one, we're supposed to go get one. A lot of young guys say, yeah. A lot of young ladies say, yeah. Get married. And that's the proper channel for our physical passion. One of the interesting things, though, as I read this, is it speaks about the fact that it's my duty to make sure that my wife's needs are met, and it's my wife's duty to see that my needs are met. Now, I was just preaching yesterday at the wedding from Ephesians chapter 5, talking about submission one to another, and I bring up, if we're both submitting to one another, nobody's being pushed down, but both of us are being, everybody's being lifted up. This is the same thing, different words, different viewpoint. Instead of me saying, my needs are primary, you don't count, it's, no, my primary focus is to see to my wife's needs. My wife's primary focus is to see to my need. And in the fulfilling of her needs and her fulfilling of my needs, we both find that our passion is satisfied. And that's a good thing. Here we see, in the most intimate of human relationships, our primary focus is not to be in ourselves, but on our spouse. In the most basic of human desires, aside from food and shelter, and some might even put this above shelter, is physical passion. It's a very basic human thing. To recreate, to procreate. But it's supposed to be in a specific, proper channel. We have passion. God made us this way. Paul's saying it's a gift for those who don't have it because they don't have that distraction from worshiping God. That they can give God more attention because they don't have that shifting their focus. But for those of us who do have passion, I'm unabashedly willing to say I do, as I did at my wedding ceremony, I do. For those of us who have passion, we need to properly channel it through marriage. Find a spouse, a husband or wife, who we can meet their needs, and in the process of meeting their needs, they will meet our needs. It's a mutual a treaty of mutual accommodation, if you will. But in the meeting of our primary need, we do it best in God's way by not focusing on ourself, but focusing on our loved one, on our spouse. Isn't that interesting? And we take that throughout Scripture. We find that as we have needs or whatnot, we find that as we seek to help others, we find that our own needs are often met. It's a basic tenet that God gives us. You know, when I try to grab it all for myself and hold it in, I can't hold it and I lose it all. But when I give it away, when I give away my love properly, since we're speaking in a sexual context in particular here, the proper methodology, I get more. I can turn out better. Now, the other thing we see here is when we get married is that we do lose our independence, our sovereignty. This is my body. No, it's not. I only have partial deed to it. It's split up three ways. I get part, Donna gets part, and God owns the reversionary clause. Come on, that was funny. You don't know what a reversionary clause is? I deal with too many church property stuff things. That's where reversionary clause is, that when everybody's done, it goes back to... Okay, so when we're done, it goes back to God. He owns more than reversionary rights. He's got it. He's in control. But it's Donna. This body is Donna's. She owns it. She's got a right to say what I do with it and what I don't do with it. Think on that one for a minute. I don't have a right to abuse my body because it's not all mine. I don't have a right to withhold it from her because it's not mine to withhold. And vice versa. Reverse of vice. It just... Donna's body's is mine. Now what does that mean? That means I don't have a right to give it to somebody else. Nor does she have the right to give hers to somebody else. We've got exclusive rights to each other. I'm all for that. More to the point, God is all for that. That's what he's told us is the proper way, the right methodology, if you would, for dealing with our passion. See, the problem with passion is that if we don't channel it properly, we burn with it. It's kind of a poetic term, to burn with passion. But it's very descriptive. When I had my little sermon illustration here a month or so ago, where we talked about what was going to burn up in what was tested, you know, was everything we built going to burn and be consumed, or was it going to stand the test of the flames? Well, the stuff that burned up wasn't there anymore, was it? It was just gone. There wasn't even ash left because I used this flash paper stuff. Well, if we burn with passion, it means that the passion is consuming us. It's damaging us. Anybody ever burn their finger? Or some other body part? Get a sunburn? It hurts. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to burn. Unless you're a candle. But even the candle gets consumed by the flame. If we cannot control ourselves, it says they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So when we do decide that we're going to take a time out from our satisfying our physical desires, as a couple, we need to decide that, hey, we're going to take some time and have a season of fasting. A fast can be denying yourself anything, whether it's food, drink, sexual pleasure, television. What you're doing is you're taking something which is important to you. You're saying, I'm not going to have that right now. I'm going to not take it. I'm going to take that time and energy and I'm going to focus it on worshiping God. Now, we as human beings and fallible people can only do that for a period of time. I can only fast for so many days, and eventually even my body will run out of something to eat. I have a little extra, so I can last longer than, say, Jeannie, who doesn't have any extra. Forty-day fast, I'm okay. But if we do take that time of fast, they're meant to be seasons. It's supposed to be something that you do. A marathon runner doesn't run continually, forever. They have to rest, recharge. That being the case, if we try to deny our passions, we'll find that they will eventually take over. We will become so hungry that we become obsessed with it, and even the obsession can, if we don't fulfill it, it will destroy us. Our body will eat itself if we don't take food. If we have that physical desire, a physical passion, if we don't see to its being met, it can and will do us damage. Spiritual, emotional, physical. Lead us to the point where we are more easily tempted by Satan because we have this passion. So disengage the mind and self-control is lost. That's not what we want. So we're only supposed to do those types of things for a short season to make sure. And then only by mutual agreement. You see, I don't have the right to tell Donna she can't have her physical needs met. If she wants them met, it's my obligation to meet them. I'm okay with that. It's a good thing. As long as it's done right. Which is me focusing on her, her focusing on me, us focusing on God's will and direction for our lives and doing things the right way. So that we don't burn with passion. That we don't put ourselves in a place where we can easily stumble. Self-satisfaction of our passions is not the goal. But instead, we need to channel our passions to satisfy the physical needs of the other. That way we don't burn, we're not consumed with our passion. The passion does not become what's in control. And Paul tells us about this because most of us aren't like him. Most of us don't have that gift of not having physical desire. So God has told us and give us the means to properly use our passion for the benefit of each other, for the benefit of our families and our communities, our nation. Passion is good as long as it's properly directed, properly used in the proper relationships. Just like fire is good when it's properly used. It's good to have fire in my oven. It's good to have fire in my furnace. It's bad when my house is on fire. And that's where many of us get off. So we think that many of us in this day and age, well, back then too, we get cold, and instead of building the fire in the furnace, we build a fire in the middle of the living room. We damage the house because we didn't have a fireplace there. Or maybe you got a fireplace like I do. Somebody painted it white. We can't have a fire in our living room fireplace because the people who owned the house before us painted it white. We tried it once. Donna, I said, don't do it. Donna wouldn't listen to me. She started a fire. He had black soot all over the front because of that white paint. I still haven't gotten all of it off. Much as I've washed and scrubbed, I've used all sorts of kind of cleaners and whatnot. Won't clean off. Why? Because we weren't supposed to have a fire there, but we did it anyways. If I go and use my sexual passion someplace where I'm not supposed to, it's going to damage. But how many of us have done it anyways? Sometimes we have a little bit of damage. Sometimes we got a lot of damage. The whole house gets caught up. It can destroy lives and families, communities, if not properly channeled through marriage. That's why God gave it to us, so that it can be a good thing and not a bad. Because it's meant to be a blessing. And it helps us to build a strong relationship with each other, to have that strong family, instead of tearing it apart and devastating our communities. So, if you have that passion, see God about it. Say, God, where's my spouse? Now, if you're already married, you need to see your spouse. Let's pray. Father God, this was a tough one for me. Lord, I just pray that the people here have heard what you had to say today. That I didn't get in the way, but instead, your people are encouraged. Bless, Lord, that we would each one recognize where we're at. Are we at the point in our lives where we are burning with passion, Lord? Help us to find that proper conduit to take care of that passion. That is a marriage partner. our husband or our wife. But Lord, for those of us who aren't burning with passion, might we give you our full attention and focus. That same energy that would have been given to a spouse, might we give that to you and serve you. And Lord, might all of us, no matter our passion, might we be passionate about you. We do pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.